bags are packed, are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Welcome to the Wife Savers Podcast, where multi-award-winning author and global marriage educator Ramona Zabriskie provides answers to your real wife questions. Our goal is to help you appreciate your womanhood, prioritize your personal development, and craft a powerful partnership with the man in your life. Hi, I'm Hannah Allen, and I'm proud to introduce my parents, Ramona and Dale Zabriskie. And yes, this is how they talk all the time. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Dale Zabriskie, sitting here in a brand new year. Woo, 2019. Don't we have those horns we used for New Year? No, let's not
blow
those.
You'd blow everyone's
That's terrible.
Off.
It's a brand new year, and here I am with Ramona Zabriskie.
The very old Ramona Zabriskie.
You really feel old now?
I am feeling old. I'm going to be 60 this month.
It's a big year. Wow.
Wow.
I've already been there. It's okay.
I don't know
it's
why,
okay,
but I keep
really.
Going back to, like, pioneer days or something when to be 60
people
was,
were dead.
They were dead.
They were dead at 60.
Now, they didn't make it down the Oregon Trail. Let's put it.
60 is okay. Trust me.
But listen, I
know.
I exercised this morning.
Yes, you did for
with
an
Jane
hour.
Jane Fonda, who's now 75.
That's right.
Or something, at least when she made the video.
That's right. She was 75 when she made the video. And that's your speed for.
But she looks
exercise.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
she
plastic
can't
surgery
balance very
works
well.
Really
but she looks good.
Yeah. One side no, of her brain's
I'm new. I'm young. It's the new year. I can be whatever I want to be.
There you go.
There you go.
So
there I am.
Got all the time in the world to do that, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
That's right. Time is a crazy thing, isn't it?
It really is. And the question this week is about time. And by the way,
it's about time.
It's about time. It's a real question from a real wife.
When no, not one of these fake questions from a fake wife. Those are the best.
We don't have fake questions. I don't have time to sit around and make up questions. These are all our questions for the podcast. Every podcast is based on a question that's sent in to us from our listeners or maybe from a student or a member of Wife Savers, you know, and we take their real questions. So when we say they're real wife questions, real life questions, we mean it. And that is an open invitation, all listeners, to send us your question.
Ask Ramona to throw you a wife saver.
That's what it's called. Throw me a wife saver. Right. There's a little box on the homepage at wifesavers.org. It couldn't be easier. So Ramona, throw me a wife saver. Get it?
Got it.
No, I mean, get the joke.
Oh.
Throw me a wife saver. It's a play on words.
Everybody's out there, yeah, we get it, Ramona. We get it.
When I was a kid and I was sitting around the kitchen table with my family at dinner time or something, I always had a joke. And then after I'd give them the joke, I deliver the joke. I'd say, and they still tease me about this, do you get it? Do you want me to explain it to you?
That's fair. You're laughing uncontrollably.
Somebody needed to explain a sense of humor to me.
I think our listeners are wondering if we had too much on New Year's Eve here. It's kind of a hangover a couple of days
later. Hangover. We did have fun, though, didn't we?
It was
we?
A lot of fun.
Yeah, that sparkling apple cider. That goes a long way.
<That's>
okay.
<right. laughs>
But our question today has to do with time, which you introduced so beautifully.
What time is it, anyway?
She says, what are some examples of things we can do with our time to improve our relationship with our husband? Would you recommend it be time spent with him, or is it time spent doing acts of service for him?
Mm.
She calls it relationship building. What are some ways that you spend time building your relationship with your husband?
Interesting. So either with him or for him.
Yeah.
Or to him,
or,
maybe.
Well, yeah. And what's interesting is she's already spending time on the relationship building because she's a member of the Wife Savers Education membership. And she says, thank you. I'm gaining so much from taking this program at a slow and steady pace. Isn't that interesting?
I like that.
Because Wife Savers is self-paced. And so that's what she's chosen. She says, I love the personal feel of the videos, personal interactions in the lab sessions, and the personal feedback. I feel like I have a loving mentor in you, Ramona, and a new group of friends that care that our marriages are thriving.
I really like that because she's using all of it. She's engaged in the program.
She's
in the labs. She's the community aspect.
Yes, and she's using me as her mentor.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it. But her question is great. So outside of her studies and so forth, she's saying, what's the best way to use my time to improve my marriage? And you know what I really love about it is that she's not asking how little she can do.
Yeah, what's the quickest, shortest path?
Yes, and she's not asking what more that he needs to do.
Mm. How can I help him change or do more?
Yeah. Mike Mason in The Mystery of Marriage, you know how much I love that author.
She loves this book, folks.
He says, there's a secret resentment of the demands of marriage, a reluctance to give away any more than is absolutely necessary. There is a constant temptation to pull back from the full intensity of the relationship, to get along on only the basic requirements. And that is our default. But I love what she's saying. She's like, well, how can I, what time I have? She's obviously a busy wife and mother. So with the time I have, well, how would it be best spent if I really want that successful, thriving legacy kind of love?
Yeah, I think, you know, the whatever wedding vows you might use, that, you know, do you take this person, do you take this woman, they usually don't include, do you take this person to do the least that you possibly can, right? You usually don't hear that in whatever wedding vows are out there. You know, can you just get by? Here.
Right.
Can I just do the minimum?
What do we live for other than to make life a little easier for each other? Really?
Yeah, really.
At least that's the attitude that we have as we start.
Right.
As we start. But something happens along the way and we get a little more stingy with our heart and our time and our energy and so forth. So I want to really focus in then on what she's focused in on, which is, what can we do with our time, or what can I do with my time, with my energy? Now, everyone's probably going, oh, please, what is the answer going to be some overhaul of my marriage, some overhaul of my life?
It's a new year. We're going to change everything.
Yes. Am I going to have to squeeze in a whole new way of doing things that's going to take a bunch of my time and energy? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you right now, relax. Relax.
Okay. I'm
thinking
relaxing.
Baloo the bear, you know?
Baloo the bear. Where did that come from? The bear necessities.
Yes,
we're going to break into song.
The bear necessities. That food come to you. It's that attitude. Or what? Kuma Batata. I have too many grandkids.
Kuma Potato?
It's the idea of, you know, chill.
Yeah, okay.
All right, don't get uptight. Because what we're going to give you today is going to transform your marriage with little bits of time. Only little bits.
Little stuff to transform.
That's all it takes.
Okay.
That's the whole point. And it was proven by Dr. John Gottman, who is the premier researcher into what makes marriages succeed or fail. In his Seattle labs, his team studied by observation and in-depth interview, newlyweds, and came out of that with just some really revolutionary ideas, because it turns out things are so much more simple than we think.
No, we try to complicate things.
Yes,
and think that it has to be something big.
Yes,
Gottman
yes.
is another one of your heroes.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting.
In the marriage
industry. So I got to say this. So Mike Mason is the
author.
Right. Who is the prose, right?
Oh, yeah. He's an amazing writer.
Right. But Gottman is the scientist that you really appreciate.
Yes.
And you appreciate both these authors and Gottman, a researcher, for what they provide. But they're an interesting, I love how you've taken each of their works and incorporated them and built upon them.
And if you could see the library in my office, right?
Yeah.
Shelves and shelves and shelves and shelves of all these different perspectives
right.
on marriage. And I think what my job has always been, and that I love both as a wife myself and in sharing it with other wives, is to synthesize all
of that.
Yeah,
that's a good word.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
So, all right. So Dr. Gottman, not only does he do this kind of research we just described, he does a lot of workshop. He and his wife do workshops for couples. And then they really keep track of these couples because they want to know the ones that succeed or continue to improve beyond the workshop. Why is that? What is it that distinguishes them from the others who stall or
go backwards?
Go backwards.
Yeah.
And the answer is all in, ready for this, back to time, 5 hours.
5 hours.
They call
it the magic. So we're going to sit down and talk for 5 hours.
Well, see, that's what's going to make everybody groan on the other end. You're like, 5 hours. No, 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 no. I told you to chill.
Okay. Hakuna Matata.
Yes.
Or potato or whatever.
We're going to start with 2 minutes a day.
2 minutes a day.
Yes.
Okay. Easy.
This is when you part in the morning. Partings. When you say goodbye. It might not be, depending on your
Could
work schedule.
Could be any time, right.
But when you're parting for the next umpteen hours from one another, you learn at least one thing about your spouse's day. Are they going to have lunch? Do they have an important meeting with somebody? Are they planning to...
Not just see you later, have a nice day.
Exactly. No, you care.
Whatever.
You
okay.
care. Now, remember, these are the couples who succeeded. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Partings. Okay. 2 minutes. Now, if there's 5 working days in your week, 2 minutes times 5 working days is, total drum roll,
10 minutes.
That's right.
I had to get the calculator
I was waiting
out
for you to do
well,
the math.
Well, that took me a while because I had to get the calculator. So I did a differential equation. 10. Is the answer 10? Okay. I made it.
Don't
got through the first one.
Don't make things complicated. Relax. 2 minutes. That's
yeah.
it. That's all it takes a day. So 10 minutes altogether for the whole week. Now, here's the next few minutes because we're trying to add up to 5, right?
Oh, there's more math included.
Yes,
okay.
Reunions.
Oh, so coming back together.
Coming back together. You engage in a stress-relieving conversation at the end of each day.
Does that mean I get to dump on you with all the things that have happened in my day?
Well, possibly.
Is that stress-relieving?
And you need to come to Wife Savers to learn how to do that really effectively.
Okay.
If you're like, I don't even know what a conversation that isn't
been?
Stressful. Ladies, you need to come to me and let me mentor you in this because there is a way. But so at the end of the day, where you just kind of reconnect
yeah,
with each other
this is what
and
happened
say,
here
this is
and,
what happened, or I need to get this off
my chest. What did you think of this thing that happened in the news?
Yes,
or
all of that.
So,
I mean, we do it so naturally, we yeah. don't even think
so
about it.
So kind of informational
It could be.
Shared,
it could,
but it could be more emotional type
it
things,
It could
right?
be for a woman, especially.
Okay.
She might need,
cool.
you know how I am at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I have a lot of emotion built up that I usually need to process.
But
anyway,
I think stress relieving, that's
stress
the key.
Stress relieving. That might be different for each of
yeah.
the individuals, but in the end, you feel a little more connected. 20 minutes.
Okay.
Times 5 days equals... Are you? Can you do the math?
Oh,
20 minutes times 5 days.
Oh, that's a little tough. I got decimals now. An hour and 40 minutes.
That's right.
Okay.
1 hour, 40 minutes.
I trusted
right.
Casio
so,
watch
so far.
Calculator is coming in handy.
So far, we have partings. That was 2 minutes a day.
Right.
Reunions, that's 20 minutes a day. And, you know, come on, it's rough.
Yeah,
I don't want anybody setting a timer on that.
So we're up to an hour and 50 minutes right now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Here it is. Number 3, admiration and appreciation. So we're going to find some way every day to communicate. I can't even say the word. To communicate genuine affection and appreciation towards your spouse or admiration.
Admiration.
Towards your spouse. And you also need to... come to the Wife Savers program to learn more about how to actually do that. Because believe it or not, it's not always as easy as it sounds. But, you know, you can say thank you for this or thank you for that.
Or I really appreciate how you do this or did that.
Or I'm really amazed at the way you how you All right. So how much time is that going to take? Maybe 5 minutes at the most. So 5 minutes times 7 days, because we can do this for 7 days. Okay. It's not tied into a work day. So 5 times 7 is?
35.
35 okay. minutes. What does that bring us up to?
That's 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Okay. All right. We're doing good.
Or let's see, 15.
Number four.
Yeah.
Affection. Now, who's going to argue with that?
Not me.
This is kissing.
Can we stop right there? There's more?
Holding.
Oh, okay.
Grabbing.
Holding what?
Touching?
Grabbing what?
Mm,
okay. Not defining that.
I love this. This is straight out of the book. And touch each other during the time you're together.
As opposed to when you're apart. We're not talking about virtually touching. Is that what you're saying? This isn't like augmented reality or virtual reality.
And make sure to kiss each other before going to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to think of that kiss as a way to let go of the, you know, the minor irritations that might have built up over the day.
Okay.
You know, you let it go in the kiss, sink into the kiss. And so really what you're doing with that kiss is forgiving.
Which we talked about here recently.
Last week.
That's right.
In our last podcast, a whole podcast, because that's a deep topic, forgiving. Yeah. But we talked about everyday forgiveness last week, and here's a way to do it. Think of the kiss as the end of the day of just clearing the slate.
Mm-hmm. Starting new.
Right, right. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so how much is all that grabbing and holding and kissing going to take?
That depends. How much time do you want to spend? You got, you know.
Let's say a minimum of 5 minutes.
Okay.
So times 7 days.
That we already did that math.
And how much? How,
so
what is
that's
that?
35.
35 minutes.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So an hour.
Now, how much time do we have left out of our 5 hours?
An hour and 10. We got an hour and 40. We're 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Oh, so really
three
close.
Hours. Almost 3 hours.
Oh, 3 hours. Okay. So we have a couple hours left to hit that.
Can we
five
add the
magic
kissing
hours.
And grabbing and holding?
Well, you could, because the last
extra credit.
One,
we get extra credit.
The last one is maybe the most important one. It's the date. You can have a date night.
Oh,
there's
good.
2 hours. You killed it in one fell swoop.
Cool.
Yeah, date night. Now, again, date night should be relaxing
or invigorating.
Oh. Is I can see that we have two very different expectations of date night. Yeah, no, absolutely. So it should just be a time to really close
yeah,
the
just
loop.
Just connect,
you know?
Really
right,
connect.
Right.
Yeah.
Either way, whether it's invigorating or relaxing or both, it should be low pressure.
Mm, okay, not a lot of expectations.
Right.
And I think what I kind of hear you inferring is that don't use this to time to have the big conversation.
Not if it's going to be emotionally
charged. Yeah, yeah. So,
we've had podcasts where we talked about how to have those kind
of
conversations.
Right.
But I'm telling you what, if you have that date night every week, if you're spending 5 minutes with affection and 2 minutes of admiration, appreciation, and so forth, when it comes time to have that kind of critical conversation, it's going to start up much softer, it's going to end much softer, and it's going to be much more productive in the middle.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. But I think what we're really trying to get to here is this aspect of the magic 5 hours is that they're connecting hours.
They are.
Right?
Yeah.
And
that
whether
is
they're,
what
whether
they all
they're
have
done
in common.
by minute, or
right.
here in a chunk of time as a date, really
right.
thinking about time that connects together.
Right.
Right.
Right. But you can see that it's not a major overhaul of your life. Let's go over it again. Partings. That's 2 minutes a day. Reunions, that stress relieving conversation.
It's using these things that are already in your life.
Really?
Yeah.
That's true. Just making sure that they're a priority in your relationship. Admiration, appreciation. Come on, every day, 5 minutes. Affection. 5 minutes a day.
And not then enough.
Your,
not
your
enough.
Weekly date night. Now, this has been proven by the Gottman research. These are make or break.
Yeah, these are the things that really do have the greatest
right.
impact.
It's the difference
on
between
being
the couples that go on to improve and thrive yeah. and those who don't. Now, that would be 5 hours and we could wrap it up right there. But there's another outcome of the Gottman research that I think is ties in beautifully here. This is I think of it like the cement or the glue between the 5 minutes of the parting okay. and the everything else. It's just, this is something that's so easy and so teeny tiny that it should just run like a thread through every day, every minute of our lives as a couple. And it's called, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is going to transform your marriage more than anything else. Turning toward. That is the terminology. Now, I want to bring up an example from our lives to give us the visual. Maybe we don't want the visual of what turning toward is all about. Because
no going back now.
In my story, and this really happened, and it was so profound that I wrote it down, and I've never forgotten it. It was an evening when I was all wound up. I was upset, you know, all that emotion to build up. It was the end of the day, and I kind of did a sigh. And you stopped in your tracks when you heard my sigh. You stopped in your tracks. You picked up on that distress signal. It was really
beacon.
It was subtle, but it was on. I was on the other side of the room, and you. I was talking. I was blah blah blah. But I paused and did a sigh, and it was at the sigh that you stopped. You turned. You really looked at me. I remember you raised your eyebrows, you cocked your head. You looked like you were really compassionate. Like, what's the matter? Mm-hmm. All over your face. Now, what's funny in this visual is I remember you were getting ready for bed. You were holding a toothbrush. I mean, like you were in the middle of brushing your teeth. And if I remember right, you were in your underwear.
Well, there's something we can't unsee. Thanks for sharing.
Important. And why that's important is everything wasn't just right, you know,
to sit down and and listen or talk or whatever.
No, you stopped what you were doing, even though it was really inconvenient. It was a cold winter night. You would rather have been in your pajamas or your robe. You know, you would rather not have had a mouthful of toothpaste or whatever. But you just stopped dead in your tracks and looked at me so intensively that I didn't even know if I should giggle about it or cry about it. I was so touched. And I thought, wow, I was just marveling. Does he really care that much about me to just stand still in the chill there and wait it out? But you did. You stood still in the doorway. You didn't beg out. You didn't bail out for, I don't know, I don't remember, probably 15 minutes or something. Because my aching heart was more important to you than your chilly back, right?
Well, I actually remember that.
You do?
I do. And the sigh was so serious to me. And I don't remember, and you don't remember what you were talking about.
I have no clue. Right.
But there was something that was incongruent that was out of place.
Okay. So here's the story. Why, or what's the moral of the story is, why? What's being illustrated in that our little example? It's called turning towards, and it's what makes marriages fail or succeed. All it is, all turning toward is, are those teeny tiny pocket-sized responses to those everyday ordinary situations. But what you're communicating is, I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's really what it is.
And that night that you did that for me, and of course you've done it a million times since. I don't know why that night stands out to me quite so much, because it's a pretty ordinary thing. But that you were saying in that moment, you're more important to me than anything. I felt like it was at the center of the universe for you. there was so much affirmation in it, so much security. And all it was this teeny little, you just stopped, raised your eyebrows, cocked your head. That's it. A little tiny response. So how do we do turning towards? I want to try and think about some ordinary situations that we might actually do that in. For instance, your spouse comes home from a day of work, husband, wife. This goes both ways, right? And says, I'm home.
Okay.
So if you're going to turn toward, what would you do? You're going to light up. You're going to light up and say what?
Well, it's like, what happened today? How did your day go?
Yeah.
And also, I think there's a physicality involved. The turning toward is an attention thing.
It is an attention
thing. But it's also a physical, literally turning toward, face to face or facing
it's
that.
It's emotionally turned toward. It's intellectually turned toward, but physically too. So in that case, you might actually, okay. So if that's turning toward, what would be turning against in the same situation?
Yeah, no response, first of all.
That'd be pretty apathetic,
right.
Like turning away or, I'm in here.
Yeah. Well, it's about time.
Oh.
There's one.
Yes, finally.
Where have you been?
I'm dying here. Yeah. Where have you been?
Here, take this kid. I'm out of here.
How different to say, oh, hey, so glad you're home. How was your day?
Yeah.
That little tiny, tiny thing is called turning towards. Let's try another one. How about that you're suggesting to me, hey, let's go to the movies.
As my father used to say to my mother, let's go to the dump and shoot rats. That was the big thing. Leora, you want to go down to the dump and shoot rats?
That was a fun little joke between the two of them. That was fun. Right. So let's say, let's go to the movies.
Yeah, let's go to the store.
All right. Whatever. And if I were turning toward, I would say something like, hey, that sounds great. What do you need me to do? And you say, well, get your coat and shoes on.
That's right. No dawdling here. Let's go.
But what if I'm trying to think of a good turning against? Well, it'd be like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
We don't have time to do that tonight.
That's right.
That goes back to our podcast about negative, how to be more positive in your communication with your husband. Strongly recommend that podcast, communicating more positively with your husband. Here's another one. What if I ask you to do me a favor? What would you say? If you were going to turn towards.
If I'm going to turn towards and say, I think it's a matter of course, yes, I'd love to do that. And if you ask me something specific, maybe you say, could you run to the store and get something, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I'm sure I've asked that already today.
Rather than a favor, but just say, honey, could you go, we need some salt. Could you do that?
Uh-huh.
I think it would be, I'd love to do that.
You don't really love to do it.
Well, yeah.
Maybe you're like, sure, I can handle it.
Sure, I can be happy to do that. Well, maybe I'm not happy to do it. But it's a matter of the turning towards is positivity, right?
Right. Like, you bet. Is this afternoon okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Can I grab that on my way home from the doctor or whatever it might be?
You know what doesn't count as turning towards is if you said something like, well, I'll try. And then you forget.
Sure.
See, that doesn't that doesn't count as turning towards. Yeah. Or do it yourself.
Exactly. You got keys to the car.
Now,
get some gas while you're out there.
Here's a good one.
That's right.
This one, I bet this one comes up. One of us, let's say, is commenting about something on television while the other is engaged in, like, on their phone.
Oh,
you know,
and look at this type thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Or did you see that? Or what do you think about that? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're really totally focused on something else. Mm-hmm. And your spouse is interrupting you. By trying to pull you in to what they're thinking or doing. What do you think about that? Should you turn toward at that point?
Well, yeah, I think the right thing to do here is respond, right?
Right.
Not react, but respond positively.
Okay. So
don't,
not just grunt.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. Yeah. But it's
or can't you see I'm working here?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm working here. it's a matter of, wow, that's really interesting. You know, what do you think about that?
Or, there you go.
You know, try to take it another step rather than just, that's interesting.
Okay. I'm going to insert here a little bit about technology, Because don't you think that is one of the...
Oh, yeah. It's the big...
keeps us from turning toward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the in-between there.
So I'm going to give you my little rule for deciding whether or not to to look at my notifications, whether or not to peek at my email, whether or not to to start scrolling on Facebook. I use the acronym BID.
BID.
BID. B-I-D.
Okay.
So BID helps me think, will this bond me with my spouse?
Okay, so you're thinking like in bid for attention.
A bid for attention. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Where am I putting my attention?
Where am I putting my attention? So if I'm in thinking, should I get on my phone right now? Even like when we're driving around in the car, and I'm pretty bad at that. I want to get on my phone and do some work. Well, I'm just sitting in the passenger seat.
Well, good. I'm glad you clarified about sitting in the passenger seat, yes, not driving.
Not when I'm driving. Okay. You're doing the hard work. So I'm thinking, I'll do a little Wife Savers work here. So I have to think BID. Will this bond me with my spouse? Will this interrupt? That's the I. Will this interrupt my conversation with my spouse? And D in the BID is, will this disconnect me from my spouse?
Oh. Okay.
So that helps me make the decision. Is if I'm getting on Facebook, for instance, and I'm like, hey, honey, did you know so-and-so just moved to Nebraska? You know, that's kind of a fun little bonding thing when we're talking about people we both know and love.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm going to look at a notification in the middle of our conversation,
right,
that is not turning towards.
Yeah, I think that the whole idea... The idea of notifications in technology is really a new thing over the last only 5 or 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
Because when the iPhone first came out, which was 2007, it didn't have all this lighting up. And,
really?
And now you look at, if you go into the menu setups for notifications.
You can turn them off.
Well, you can, but by default, a lot of these things are on.
Oh.
So that every little thing that happens, there's some... indication, buzz, noise,
so, you know,
whatever.
And what that's setting us up for is turning toward our phone.
Yeah, that's it. The wrong
building
thing.
Building a relationship with our phone. I'm in a relationship with my phone.
that's on Facebook.
We're in this for life.
I'm in a relationship on Facebook. Yeah, but this is really a good thing to just kind of run through very quickly.
Yeah.
Because those things are so
all my notifications
prevalent.
Are off.
Yeah.
I've done that on purpose so that if I'm going to look at my phone, I can weigh it out, just like we just talked about with BID.
Right.
All right.
Well, but there are so many apps out there and they all have some sort of quirky little notification. Mm-hmm. So, boy, our lives are just so full of those interruptions.
Right.
That, like you say, is this important?
Yeah.
To
right. Exactly.
Use the BID acronym.
Right. So I hope that helps. Will this bond? Will this interrupt? Or will this disconnect? Help us weigh all that out. Just a couple more turning towards. What about your spouse wants to be physically intimate?
She does. All right. Thanks for listening,
Message.
Folks. Tune in next time when you'll hear Ramona say.
No way.
That would be the end of our podcast and other things.
Turning away would be more like, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not that interested.
Okay, but turning toward?
Turning toward and
fill
physical
in the blank.
Intimacy. Yeah,
I think that was sort of a test. If you can fill in the blank, I think you understand what turning toward is all about. So I just want to bear testimony that... From my own observation and experience, these kind of minor responses pay major dividends. Major. The Gottman's claims are for real. Turning toward can transform and elongate your relationship. His emphasis on that cannot be overstated.
Yeah, it reminds me of... we went on a cruise here not too long ago, and it's a big Disney ship, and they turn that big ship with this little tiny, relatively speaking, rudder.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah, and that was a mega liner.
Yeah, and it's always fascinating me how, with physics, You can take this massive, massive thing, and just by this relatively small piece, it starts to change course. And turning that ship is not, you don't turn that thing around in a Walmart parking lot, right? It takes time to make that happen. And that's what we're talking about here, is these little things have this impact, and it takes time and slowly gets easier and easier and easier. New tact.
In a new year.
Right.
I love that. Well, just talking about it is helping me to make my New Year resolution.
Which is?
That I'm going to, you're going to be at the top of my Christmas tree.
I've been up there already.
You're going to be at the top. And I want you to know that. How am I going to convey that to you? By turning towards and by prioritizing those magic 5 hours with you every week. Now, here is the bottom line reason you want to do this. Can I quote Mike Mason again?
Of course.
He says, I quote you too, honey.
You do? You quote me?
Oh, all the time.
In my underwear or out of my underwear?
He says, the vow to love one special person is intended to fill us up to the brim with love, to train us in the very depths of love, and so to free us to have much more love for others than ever before. For it is not really the love in a home that eats up time and energy.
Yeah, we got way too much love going on here. That's right.
But rather the lack of love. Think about that.
Yeah.
That he says, that is what really wreaks havoc in our married life, ensnaring, using never-ending self-analysis and robbing us of the energy to love others.
I love this, never-ending self-analysis. There's another term in business. It's analysis paralysis.
Ah, yeah, because we're always trying to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah, and why we spend all this time, and it becomes a vacuum.
Why am I unhappy?
Becomes a vacuum.
Yes.
It just sucks everybody,
from all that negative energy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So what does that tell us? That turning towards those itty-bitty moments, the 5 magic hours, the 5 minutes here, the 20 minutes at the end of the day, and so forth, what does that do? It gives you more time than ever before. More time and more energy, more love to spend. Do you want to spend 5 hours or 5 seconds? Sometimes is all it takes. Or 105 hours in negativity.
Right. Or a lifetime.
Your choice.
That's it.
It's 2019. It's a new year for a new you in a new marriage. And how do you do that? You join the Wife Savers Education membership. And it's there that I can help you increase your understanding as a woman and build your skill set as a wife. We're going to bring out the best you, your feminine energy, your creativity. It's your time. Go to wifesavers.org.
Home is with you wherever that may be.